Amen. We're going to start a series here talking about what does the Bible say about and then blank. It's going to be some different subjects because there's some fundamental truths that I feel that each of us need to learn and have an understanding when it comes to God's Word as Christians. There's a lot of self-help sermons going out across the airwaves these days, and I know I've done them myself. And primarily those are good, but they usually just teach us how to help ourselves, and it doesn't really teach us how to help others, right? Just to be honest. So we need to have a balanced diet. You know, you can't just eat, donuts and, you know, drink pop every day, right? That's your only food. No, you got to have some meat and potatoes and some vegetables and different things in your body. And I think Christianity, you know, if we do it right and we receive a balanced diet, I think we're going to be able to have better health, and I think we're going to be able to help other people. So the first thing we're going to talk about this week is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And that's something that a lot of churches steer clear from anymore. For whatever reason, maybe it's gross. For some, I don't know, maybe it's too old school, but if a Christian doesn't understand what the blood of Jesus is in their life, they're never going to walk in victory. Amen. Because we need to have a working understanding about how powerful the blood of Jesus is. So the first scripture I want to look at today is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all the great and mighty things that you are doing in each of our life. Lord, I thank you that we are not ashamed of the gospel. Lord, we know it's the power of God unto salvation. Lord, I thank you so much for the many gifts that you bestow upon your people. And right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I desire to see the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation and words that pierce and penetrate to leave my lips going into people's hearts. And Lord, we just want to offer up praise and thanksgiving to you because you're an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what I want us to see today is along the idea of debt cancellation. Debt cancellation. Is anybody here, don't raise your hand, have any debt? I think we probably all have some debt to some degree. I guess I don't. Haha, just kidding. No, I don't. My house is paid for, my cars are paid for, all the food we have in the house is paid for, and I get my clothes at garage sales, so I'm good. No, it's not that bad. We go buy new stuff every now and then. But I personally don't have any debt. So I'll just, but that's a teaching on giving. So I know somebody don't want to hear that today. But I'll tell you, tithing breaks the curse and gives you wisdom. So amen. But we're going to look today because debt's a bummer. Now, we don't have the church building totally paid for yet. And I had to sign the note. So yeah, I know what debt is and I hate it. And I think many of you do too. Debt is a bummer. Now, sometimes it can be a little overwhelming, you know, if you have a car payment that's very expensive, or maybe your house payment, or maybe you had a medical emergency happen, and you had to go to the doctor, and maybe your insurance, you know, your deductible's very high, and that's how they roll these days, don't they? You know, they may not raise your insurance, but they raise your deductible, you know, so really it's not good for you. But these things all happen, and then there's another little thing that gets us in trouble, and that's that little piece of plastic, credit card debt. Now, that can be harsh sometimes, you know, because what it does, I read the average person in America in last year, 2017, many of them carried over $15,000 worth of credit card debt. Now, I know you have to work at that. You know what I'm saying? That's taken in all the big cities and all that where, you know, maybe stuff's a little bit higher than here in Albia, Iowa. And that's for people that do carry debt. Now, some people pay off the cards all the time. That's good. And that's what you should try to do. But $15,000 of credit card debt, pretty severe interest rate, isn't it? It gets up there and it's hard to manage. And I don't, you know, what I think's bad if you have a lot of debt is if you put yourself in a position where you can't even make the minimum payment. Now that's rough. You know, debt is bad. So if you can stay away from it, if you can, you know, rearrange how you do things, it would be a lot better. And then what happens sometimes if you start carrying a lot of debt and some unforeseen circumstances come up, you miss a payment. And that's bad. You know, like them deals where they say if you buy this TV, no payments for 48 months or something. It's all good, but if you miss one payment, if my memory serves me right, I think they said you have to make all the back payments interest. So they bank on you failing. That's what our economy is based on. It's based on you failing so that they can be able to take, you know, some of your hard-earned money. So then what happens, sometimes people take on a second job. They go out and they try to work and they, you know, they try to pay this thing off and, you know, they feel responsible. You know, you figure, I got myself in this position. You know, I'm going to have to get myself out. So you work a lot of extra hours. You get all stressed out. You get wore out. You know, all these things. And like I've always said, self-inflicted pain is the worst pain. I hate it when I shoot myself in the foot. You know, the other day I did something really stupid. You know, I was cleaning the, maybe I told you, I was cleaning the little hand blender we got. I bought this thing to mix up my protein drinks. It's got this little propeller, and it's got a little cover on it. But, you know, vroom, that thing takes off, and it just spins it like a top. If you don't have it submerged, it'll throw stuff everywhere. Well, I'd made me a little protein drink, and I like just drinking it with water. And I was there cleaning. I left it plugged in, and sometimes I'll run it underwater, vroom, 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 just letting water fly everywhere. My wife left the room, didn't she? Yeah. But anyway, so it don't fly that bad. But anyway, then there was a little speck of protein on it. And that bugged me. So I put my hand down there to move it. Then my wife came around the corner and asked me a question. I turned around. I must hit the button. Boom. Well, messed up my finger. Just split her wide open. First words out of her mouth, you're going to have to. I said, don't you say it. I am not going to the doctor. I haven't been to the doctor in 15 years, and I'm not going over that. So I wrapped that baby up, and it's all good now. You know, praise God. But it was self-inflicted pain. I don't know if my fingerprint will work on my phone yet, you know. That may not work. I'm going to have to do another finger to log in. But, you know, I hate it when I do stuff to myself. And really that's what happens when you and I put ourselves in debt and how painful that is. Now, I'll be honest, there's a lot of debt that's kind of fun, right? That big screen TV is awesome. You know, it doesn't help some of the older actors. You can see all the wrinkles, right? That's what I noticed. You know, wow, they're getting old. Then I look in the mirror. I got a big screen mirror at home, too. I'm getting old, too. But, you know, it's fun until the payments kick in. You know, I remember kids in the church back when we was over in the old building. You know, some of them, when they graduated high school, they wanted to have a new car. Praise God. They always drove junk all through high school. And that's good. You learn lessons that way. Learn how to fix a car, right? That's one of the things you learn. But they had to have a new car. Well, they went and bought a new car. Well, they could barely make the payments, and they didn't take the initiative to go check with the insurance company. How much is a young person going to have to pay on insurance on this new car? Well, all of a sudden, that great thing they thought was beautiful turned into a real pain in the rear. You know what I mean? They could barely make it. I mean, they were struggling. And see, it's all fun till the payments kick in. And see, that's the same way I feel with sin. Because, you know, for me, I think the worst thing we can do is buy something we don't need with money we don't have to keep up with people we don't like. And really, that's kind of what sin is, because we try to be like the world and we get involved in sin and then we don't know how to deal with it. Now, one of the funnest feelings I'm going to go into in a minute is that have you ever taken a bill to somebody and they go, chick, that little red thing says paid in full, baby. You almost want to frame it, but you know that's kind of ridiculous. You know, but paid in full. You get that title in the mail, praise God, from that bank on your car. And they mail you that title, and now it's yours. Or maybe with your house, you get the everything with that. So praise God. Now, what sin does with our life is the fact that it's fun for a while. I'll be honest, I used to sin, and I ain't going to lie to you. It was fun, some of it. But the after effects is what brings death. And what's what we don't understand is the idea what it does is that sin may not kill us physically immediately, although there were some things that I was doing that could have brought immediate death to my life. But what it was doing, it was killing me spiritually because I was separated from God. And no matter what I did, I could not pay my way back to get close to God. I tried to pay. I tried to do things. And, you know, I know you can't really offer money, but I tried to maybe do nice things, or I tried to change certain things. And so, you know, I knew I had a problem. And just like when you get that statement in the mail, you know you have a problem, right? You know that there's something going on in your life that's keeping you, you know, from where God wants you to be. And what happens then is that, you know, we try to pay that off, just like we may take a second job or we do extra works. And what I found out is that you and I have a problem, and we all share that problem. And that problem is that you and I cannot even make the minimum payment for our sin. And that's a hard thing to accept. You know, it's very humbling if you have a bill coming and you don't have the assets that it is that bothers me. I like paying my bills. That's just how I wired in my head. I want to get them done. But it would be frustrating to me if I wasn't able to scrape up even the minimum payment for something. And see, you and I cannot scrape up the minimum payment for our sins. That's how depleted our account is when it comes to our relationship with God. We're deficient. We're overdrawn. We don't have sufficient funds to be able to pay that. And that's why it takes the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is what we have to understand in our head. I think most of us would probably admit that we understand the fact that Jesus died for my sins. Man, I was saying that since I was a little kid. I learned that little concept. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. I was a parrot. That's all I was. I could repeat it, but I didn't have any comprehension what it was really talking about. You know, why did Jesus die for my sins? How did that work? How did he take my place? What did all that mean? And why did he have to die? He was God. Why? All these things flooding through my head, wanting to figure this thing out and on how it really works. And what's the blood of Jesus? I hear people talking about the blood of Jesus, singing about the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. Power. I'll save you the rest of it, but you know what I'm saying. You know, there's power in the blood. Praise God. Well, what power? What power is in the blood of Jesus? Is it just because it's God? Is it because it's Jesus' blood? Or what's the scoop on that? How is that going to help me? Why do I need to know that? These are things we should understand. Because there's a devil out there. And he's going to try to come and lie to us. He's going to try to mess us up. And we have to do that. Now, what I do know about how commerce works, I'm a self-employed person. It takes something to buy something, right? There is no credit for the most part. You may use credit, but you still got to pay later. You can't buy anything without something. You got to have something to pay for something. Now, you try to go to the, and you have to have the right kind of commerce when you're going to make a deal here. Now, maybe some of y'all went across the border down into Mexico, took a little vacay, okay? Maybe went to a resort, and you got some pesos left over. You go up to Hy-Vee or Jim and Charlie's, and you go through the checkout line, you fill your cart, you go up there, and all of a sudden you just whip out some pesos. What are they going to do to you? They're going to laugh at you. That ain't no good here. You can't buy nothing with pesos here. Why? It's the wrong rate of exchange. You have to play by the rules, or it's not going to work. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. Our works, the things that we do, we cannot make a transaction in the kingdom of God other than with faith. But faith in what? It cannot be faith in yourself. It cannot be faith in me, faith in this church, faith in this country. It has to be faith in God and the things that God has done for us. And if we do that, then we start to flow with what he does. It takes money to buy cars. It takes money to, you know, buy a house or pay for your medical bills and pay off your card. You know, I don't know about you, but your looks can only get you so far. Now, some of your looks will get you farther than I'll get. I guarantee you that. But they're not going to take you all the way because you have to have the right thing. And sin is a spiritual problem. You cannot use natural means to pay for a spiritual problem. That's why you have to use spiritual things. And we're going to look at that because Jesus' blood was the spiritual answer for our sin problem. And that's what it did. When it said that we were not redeemed with silver and gold, God has all the money he needs. He has all the silver and the gold are his. He has a cattle on 1,000 hills. He has all the assets and things that he needs to make any transaction that he wanted. But he still couldn't deal with sin with natural means. His son, his only son, had to die. And his blood had to be shed. And that's what we're redeemed with, blood. The power of blood. And there's things that we need to know. We're going to do something here in a little bit. We're going to partake of communion together. And when we partake of the cup, it's a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Why can't we just have a, you know, we use grape juice. We don't use alcoholic wine because it's fermented and that's a symbol of sin. You know, the fermentation process, you know, changes it, you know. And Jesus, you know, wants us not to partake of the fermentation process when we do the blood covenant, when we operate with him. But what we have to understand is the fact that you and I cannot purchase our way out of our problems. It's going to take the blood. Now, what the blood does, it cancels out our debt of sin. Now, what is so special about that blood? Now, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus 17, verse 11. And this is a scripture we looked at. I think we looked at it a time or two last year, but I want to go over it again. How many times you ever had eggs for breakfast? Amen? Or cereal or oatmeal? More than once, right? So if we go over a scripture more than once, I think it's all good. Okay. This is why the blood was so important, the blood of Jesus. It wasn't that it was just God's blood, which is important, but this is what it does. Okay, Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." Okay, there's the key. If we understand this, I believe we'll start walking in a deeper level of liberty if we can just remember this one concept. Life is in the blood. And it's going to sink in here in a little bit. How life overcame death and the power that's in Jesus' blood. Now, this here is talking about the Old Testament practices. Okay, life is in the blood. You know, sin is death, and as we remember, you know, sin is separation from God. Now, many of us, it'd be a lot easier if we sinned, we just died on the spot. Then we'd understand, right? Be a one-shot deal, but it don't work that way, does it? And thank God for that, right? How it works is the fact that sin puts up a barrier. It puts up a wall. It makes a separation between us and God. And for us to be able to get back to God, we have to deal with that barrier, that wall. Now, what the Leviticus says here, that all blood, ever blood, animal blood, our blood, has life in it. You know, you can go through life with a lot of things, without a lot of things, but you lose your blood, it's over, right? I know you lose the other couple things, they're kind of important too. But if that blood spills out, it's over. Your physical body cannot function no more. Now, there's more to it if we understand the idea that blood, the life is in the blood. Now, if Israel sinned, the nation of Israel sinned, or not if, but when they sinned, because we know they all sinned, right? Just like we do. Here's what they had to do. They had to get an animal. Now, some of you may not like this, but they had to kill that animal. The priest kind of took care of that, you know, which I'm thank God for the New Testament. I mean, I'm not grossed out by stuff like that, but I would not want to have to, you know, cover everybody's sin by y'all bringing me a sheep or a bull or something, and we got to start executing those animals and, you know, that blood, taking that blood and doing different things with it just to deal with sin. I mean, how hard is that? That would be a mess, wouldn't it? But that's what they had to do. And they sinned all the time. So every day, morning, they would have sacrifices. Okay. So they'd take that blood and they would do, there's different ways they would use the blood. Now, I'm not going to go into that today. But what they did is that animal blood had a certain level of life power inside of it. Okay. It had life in it because that's where the life is. Okay. So that animal blood was taken and then it was applied. And what the word there, an interesting word, it talks about atonement. Now, atonement is trying to make up for a wrong suffered. Let's say a husband has done something not so nice to their wife. Sometimes sorry is just not enough, right? Have you ever been down that road? I think we all have. Well, some guys go to other extremes. Some may go buy some flowers, okay? They give their wife the flowers because sorry was not enough. Or they get them candy. Or they take them out to eat. Or they buy them something. And the same can work the other way. Why? Because it took a little extra. See, the people of Israel just couldn't say, I'm sorry. They actually had to atone. They had to pay for it somehow. They had to have something to cover their sins and to fix the wrong that was suffered. And see, that's what happens when the blood was shed. Now, what messes us up in understanding this is the fact that you and I live a life down here. And we've all been through it where somebody that we know has passed away, right? We've all had somebody we love leave this planet, hopefully to go on with the Lord. Amen? But what that does, it tells us that death has power over life. Right? To me it does. When you see somebody die, it just puts a picture in your mind that death has the ultimate power. So death must be stronger than life. But it really doesn't. See, we're looking at it in the natural. We're looking at it through the eyes of the natural mind. And we have to remember that there's a spiritual concept here. Because death isn't just physical. The worst death is spiritual when we're separated from God. And that's what we have to turn our focus back to. And that's where the blood of Jesus comes in, or the blood of animals used to be in the Old Testament, where that blood was shed and that life, it was taken and it would cover the blood. Now, there's one thing about it. Like yearly, they did sacrifices during the day or if they made mistakes, whatever the case may be. But also what they did is once a year they'd have a big, big sacrifice. They called that the Great Day of Atonement, when they would kill something and they would go in there. The high priest would actually have to go into the holiest place, which was kind of dicey because that's where the absolute glory and power of God hung out. And if the priest wasn't quite right, the priest would die. They could not handle the glory of God. Rumor has it, or tradition has it, they would tie a rope on their leg. And if they died, they would drag them out. I don't know if it's not in the Bible, but that's what some of the traditions say happened with back then during that ritual. And they would have little bells and different things on their garment so that when they moved around, you'd know they were still kicking. You know what I'm saying? But if it got real quiet for a long time, they would pull them out. They were dead because they could not handle the holiness of God. And see, that's the problem that you and I have. We just ain't good enough on our own. But see, God had a plan. He wanted to fix that problem. He wanted to fix that situation. And, you know, the problem you and I primarily that we need to get over, and that's the idea of guilt, because animal blood could not kill the guilt in our mind. It could only cover us. It could only make atone. Even though we as husbands have done wrong with our wife, maybe, and we went and bought them something to try to get out of the doghouse, in our mind, we're still in the doghouse, and if we forget, there's somebody there to remind us, right? And I don't mean the devil all the time. Huh? We can't get it out of our head. It's still in our head. We're still just not good enough. And see, God had a plan. And this was a picture of something coming. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 to 14 says, if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling, those who have been defiled sanctify for cleansing of the flesh, here's the key, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now this is where the blood of Jesus, now we're making a distinction. The whole book of Hebrews was written, one of the main points of it, it shows that Jesus is better, showed that Jesus was better than Moses. Jesus was better than the priest. Jesus was better. His blood is better. It's all about the book of betters, and Jesus is the better. And that's what it came to reveal to us. So it says about how much more. So the blood of Jesus is more powerful, as we all know. Acts 20, 28, we don't have that one posted up there. But it says in the last part of it, Paul was telling, he's getting about ready to go to Rome, and he was saying his goodbye to his leaders in the church, because he had one last shot with them before he was heading off. And he said, shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, in Acts 20, 28. He was telling them, pastors, take good care of these people, my people, because they were expensive. Our God had to send his son to die. And you need to treat him right. You need to take good care of him. You need to make sure, because it was expensive transaction that took place. Now, what I want to see here is for us to understand is that animal blood could only buy you time. The nation of Israel, the best they could get is a year for the great day of atonement. So every year they had to do that. So animal blood bought you time. But I want us to see today is that Jesus' blood bought us freedom. And there's a difference. The whole goal of the Old Testament is a picture to show of Christ who's coming. And we live in a better time. So much better than our forefathers ever had to go through. But yet the problem is sometimes we don't have a revelation of the power of blood, because Jesus' blood destroyed sin's power on our conscience. Now, how many of us would be honest today would say that you've repented of something, but it's still in your mind every now and then? Right? We all have. We've done something wrong, and for whatever reason, the guilt still haunts us. And see, that's how the Old Testament people were. They felt guilty all the time. They walked around knowing they were just not good enough, that every time they did something wrong, they had to go kill, you know, their pet sheep. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't pick their pet, I'm sure. I mean, that was a last resort. But, you know, that's like it was. I mean, a lot of these shepherds got to know their animals pretty good. You go out there and you do something wrong, and man, something has to give. Somebody has to die. But see, Jesus died once and for all. We don't need to sacrifice animals no more. And see, I want us to see today that the power in the blood of Jesus can erase sin's power over our conscience in the area of guilt. Because here's what happens. Satan has lost you to God's kingdom. If you're a Christian, you're born again, you're in God's kingdom. It'd be nice if he quit and let you go, right? But he don't. So if Satan can't keep you from God, he's going to make you feel guilty while you serve God. So you can't be free to serve in the way that you were created to serve. And that's Satan's trick. But see, we have to get to the place where we know that Satan may not be able to tempt us, but we don't want to also remind ourselves of the sins that we committed. One of the greatest revelations that I got from God when I first got saved is that whenever I would tell somebody, because, you know, people would want to know what I used to be like. I don't know why. It must have entertained them or something. But I would tell some of the things. I've never, like I mentioned, I've never told my whole testimony because, you know, I'm not ashamed of it, but you guys might just all leave the church, I guess. You know, maybe. I don't know. If I told you everything. But when I did tell what I felt comfortable telling, it was like I was talking about somebody else. I kid you not, that is the power of the blood of Jesus. Because all I knew is I remembered some of the shame, some of the guilt of the things that I've done in my life. And they would always be flashing through my mind every now and then. Every time I got close to God or maybe close to somebody, and you know, and then I would think, hey, I'm just not good enough. Until I got that revelation. That revelation of the power of Jesus' blood. And then it totally set me free, where I actually finally got the revelation, I'm a new creation in Christ. That's what we need to have. Satan can never bother me with that stuff again. He don't even try to bring it up. It has no power here in my life, because the power that's in the blood of Jesus. What have you done that he's trying to lie to you about? If something came in your mind, you need to attack him with the blood of Jesus. You need to attack that thought. You need to claim this Hebrews 9 scripture and say, thank you, Jesus. You cleansed my mind from all guilt. I am free. I am no longer bound. Sin has no power over me. Satan can never use that thought as leverage over me again. That's the power that's in the blood of Jesus. Now, if I had a dry erase board here, and if I wrote the word sin, just as an example, animal's blood, we'd just put an X on it. It would cover it. But Jesus' blood, we'd take the eraser and erase it and take it away. Gone. That's how God sees our sin. Now, what about you? The Bible says God's omnipotent. He has all power. Omniscient. He knows everything. And omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. So God can remember everything. But you know what God thinks about your sin once you've repented of it? Glad you asked. Micah 7:19 says he casts all our sins into the depth of the sea. Just, boom, gone. Can't see him no more. Psalms 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west is as far as he removed our transgressions from us. East and west never meet. North and south does at the poles. You can keep driving east until you run out of gas. You'll never get totally west, right? They'll never meet. And that's where God put our sins. God chooses not to remember. Who do we think we are to choose to do so? Think about it. Maybe you have a friend, a family member, that's truly repented. They've done some wrong to you. Maybe you feel they broke their marriage vow. That's a big one. But they've really repented. Maybe they've said something or done something to you. And they've really repented. And you know they did. And you know God's forgiven them. Who are we to bring that up again? Think about it. The power of the blood of Jesus erases it. It's gone. And we need to let it go. In closing, 1 John 1:9 is a scripture that the Holy Spirit inspired John to write. And it was written to Christians. It wasn't written to sinners. A lot of stuff in the Bible, yeah, that's written to a sinner. But this is written to Christians. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, my question I want to ask, is our sin greater than the blood of Jesus? No. So, if sin is not greater than the blood, so sin should not have power over us, over our mind, because the blood of Jesus is more powerful. And we just need to let it go. Just let God have it. That's why Jesus came. He knew that we couldn't make the minimum payment. He knew that we could do nothing on our own. But it took the blood of his own son to be able to set us free. So the blood of Jesus is our trump card. You know, it trumps everything the devil throws at us. And to me, it's our get out of debt free card. Amen. I'm not in debt to sin anymore. Jesus paid the price, and same for you. And that's why we need to understand the power of the blood of Jesus. You know, especially when you're starting out and your walk is fragile. It's like a little baby toddler learning how to walk. If you could get this revelation, Satan will never hold you back again. You can walk in freedom. Amen. Let's pray.